The reading today is from the book Move by Cynthia Winton Henry. Death is a scary word. But here are the words that really, really scare people. Play, body, dance, feel, touch. How do I know? I've taught smart, creative, caring people of all ages, genders, and types for many years. Body wisdom? Yikes! Frankly, it's the same for me. If you want to be taken seriously, which I do, don't say play, body, feel, dance, or touch. Meanwhile, men and women of all ages and nationalities sequester me in the shaded corners of my classrooms and confess, if I could do it all over, I would have danced. I really need to play more, but... Recently, I asked a graduating Yale student, what are your peers seeking today? Honesty, she said, but not the reality TV kind. An ache for honesty. Yes, I want that. But honesty can be scary. Spontaneously honest in public? Let someone else be honest first. Bodies are ruthlessly honest. Play is honest. You can't play unless you are yourself. We have belittled the body and belittled play. If play is really an innocent, insignificant experience, why do we fear it? It's confusing. We are like Eugene O'Neill, who asked, why am I afraid to dance, who loves music and rhythm and grace and song and laughter? In addition to inheriting traditions suspicious of the body, we judge spontaneous emotion and vulnerability. Being physically playful can make you look too happy, goofy, or, as they say, lead to sex. Embarrassing. Wild abandon is for celebrities who get paid millions. On the opposite end, the media seduces us to emulate the coolly statuesque. Unfortunately, our attempts at coolness turn us into wallflowers, waiting on the periphery of a wildly infectious, weird dancing universe. I jokingly blame everything restrictive about the body in Western culture on shoulder pads in suits and dresses. Lift up your arms and your suit bunches around your ears. That's not good. Our power costumes keep us standing up straight with our arms at our sides. To this I say, bah, humbug. I love TV commercials that show people in suits erupting in joyous dance. To reclaim the body at play is to be a part of a strange revolution, a revolution of personal empowerment and love. To play and fully be ourselves is liberation. What does the body want? A home, a job, a loving relationship, a community, enough adventure to keep you interested in life? These things are basic. Look deeper, and you may still find the seeds and jewels of secret hopes. The dream of freedom and speech, the ability to freely create, sing, and love with abandon. A house, a job, and a marriage provide a secure framework. But we soon discover what we really need is enough affection, time, beauty, play, bigness, loudness, happiness, quietness, space, freedom to tell our truth, and some people to share this with. What does your body want?
So this is my annual May Day sermon, or Beltane. Beltane is a Celtic holiday from Northern Europe, celebrated for hundreds of years. It's about really the fullness of spring, sensuousness, beauty, bodies, and just all the good, juicy stuff is celebrated on Beltane. So this is my third year of offering a service on some of these themes. So I know way ahead of time that I'm going to be preaching on this, so I'm always churning through different ideas that I want to share with you. And then, out of the blue, I get an email from your body. Now, I was actually as surprised as you are about that. You know, I don't like triangulation, I want your body to talk to you first, right, before come to me, because we're triangulating here. But after I had a chance to check in with your body, oh my, some of the things they said really made me realize I had to change my sermon around and speak to you about these points that your body is trying to tell me. Actually, I have a copy of the email right here. And I don't want to miss any major points that your body wants me to make, so I'm going to keep it right close to me here so that I can make sure to talk about all these things. So on behalf of your body, here's what your body would like me to tell you. Could you get out of your head a little bit? I mean, come on, people. You got the eyes and the ears. I get it. The input's coming in, but there's a whole lot going on down here, and you're not giving it any credit. For heaven's sakes, the rational mind is only one piece of the whole picture here. In fact, your body really wants me to tell you to respect that it's not just a container for all the good stuff that goes on. Your body's right in there, part of the action. In fact, it's really an integrated system. We sort of like to refer to body, mind, spirit, heart, right, as all separate pieces that have different roles. But what's really going on is they're all working together, one fully integrated system that, frankly, you don't give enough respect. So let's think of some examples of how this system might work, where different processes and different ways of the system, like how do you know when someone is sincere? How do you know that? You hear their words, and their words may make sense up here, but maybe part of you has this facial expression. I don't think so. That's not coming from up here. That's coming from that instinctive place. That's coming from an integration. What about anger? How do you know when you're angry? Is it because your mind says, I find myself to be considerably angry at this moment? Lots going on there, and lots going on for you when you see somebody else is angry. It's all that embodied thing. I think the perfect example of the full embodied human experience is love, right? I mean, the brain is not, the rational mind's not a big player in the love scene here. How many of you have physical symptoms of love, right? Right, when you're in love, this part kind of shuts down. You're like in Goo Goo Gaga land when you're really seriously in love. The other full integrated body experience, of course, is grief. And those of you who have grieved something profoundly know that. It's kind of like being in love. Your mind does strange things and shuts down. Your body has all sorts of feelings. And it's a whole integrated system body transformational experience. The other example that came up for me was music. Music is an amazingly integrated thing. I mean, just how did you feel listening to Ina play that Debussy piece? Oh, you know, I felt little flutters in my body, and I felt uplifted, and it's just a full, music is a full body experience. So your body wants you to know that, think of it as a system. So let's see, what else here do they want me to tell you? Oh, okay, here's a really important one. Could you please pay attention to what the body's trying to tell you? I mean, there's something going on, there's information that's happening that just doesn't come in from your eyes and your ears. Every day your body's telling you things, a little pain here, maybe a little stomach churn there, something happens and you have a physical reaction, but we tend to just ignore all those cues and signals that our body gives us. All of that information is actually data. Your body's giving you data all day, all the time. And when you accumulate that data in certain ways, then you have knowledge. You see processes. So, for example, if you're constantly trying to sleep only 6 hours a night, your body may give you a clue that that's just not working for you. That's not enough. And if you're trying to force your body into a pattern that's not its natural rhythm, we all know that anybody who's flown to Europe knows the repercussions of asking your body to do things that are really hard for it. So body data, look at processes and patterns that happen, and then that allows you to operate from a much more wise body place. You're taking advantage of all the information that your body is giving you, and it's rooted in the details of your own experience. You know, we read all these books to tell us how to be healthier and happier, but a lot of times we don't pay attention to all the information that our own bodies are giving us. And the third thing your body wants me to tell you is also about information. We're taking in a lot of stuff all day long. I don't know about you, but my morning experience of reading the newspaper is it's like taking in the pain of the world. And your body is absorbing all that. You know, of course it's going through your mind, you're processing it, but all the feelings that come up about that, we take in so much information all day long, and if we just let it sit in our bodies without processing it, what do we get? We get stress. Is anybody familiar with the term stress? Any idea? So where do you feel stress in your body? Do you feel it in your back? Maybe in your neck and shoulders? Maybe you feel it in your stomach sometimes. You might, each of you, your own bodies are going to tell you where stress is. But do we ever think about the opposite of stress? What would the opposite of stress be?
Elation.
Elation? How about ease? How about spaciousness? Oh my God, doesn't your body just go, just hearing those words. I've realized with myself, I have two states. I have stressed or asleep. Haven't been able to fill in that awake, relaxed thing. Really working on that, trying to be in relationship with my body about that. So your body needs to let go of all this stuff you take in all the time. You know, before you're like this, I can just tell by how high my shoulders are, how much I've taken in during the day. And there's a couple of, there's several ways that you can do this. One of the most important ways is to do anything that improves your circulation. Breathing, and then breathe out all that stuff you've taken in. Exercise that gets your heart beating. It just helps your body express all the energy that it has absorbed. Another really good thing to do, and a lot of you know this intuitively, is repetitive type activities. So when my internship supervisor at the church where I did my internship used to knit at all the church meetings. She'd be in there knitting. And I'd say to her, you know, well, what's that about? She goes, well, you know, I'm not in charge. I'm trying to be a witness and a support, but there's a lot of things that go on that really stress me out. So, you know, she said, you can tell when I'm like thinking the meeting's going south because I start knitting faster and faster. So repetitive type actions, knitting, crocheting, even walking, all those things can really help release energy. Very, very helpful to help your body free itself of all these things. Of course, singing is an excellent way. Singing here together, that's part of the circulation, expressing, connecting. And then another important way that I think we neglect as well is creativity. And you don't have to be a creative person to be creative. Just make something up. You know, I love how people are doing coloring books now. It's adults are into coloring books. If you didn't get the memo about that, I'm telling you now. And it's perfect because you're doing a repetitive motion, but you're picking the colors. You're just coloring in the lines or not, depending upon what you like to do, but you're making something, you're creating something, and cooking, fabulous. You're stirring, you're chopping, and you're creating. Even if you follow a recipe, you're creating. Your body loves to be able to have these creative opportunities to express itself. Oh, yes. Then there's also the crisis intervention moments with your body. you probably know what these are like. This is where there's a buildup of some emotion or buildup of stress, and you really just need to vent it all out. And there's a couple of ways to do this. This reminded me of a story from my own life when I was doing diversity training as a manager at the University of California. So we spent a day together, all sorts of people of different races and colors and religions and ethnicities, and everybody was telling a story of a time when they felt disrespected, disconnected, when they felt mistreated, just for us to understand each other's perspectives on issues of diversity. And I left that day with the most horrible headache. And I'm not a big headache person. My head was pounding. And it wasn't until I just was able to really let in everything I'd heard and have a really good cry that my body was able to release it. Anger is like that. You know, we've been taught to repress our anger because it's hard on other people. So go take your anger someplace else, but let yourself have it. Your body is going to, over time, it's going to have problems if we don't express our anger. So give yourself the chance to do that. Okay, let's see. What else does your body want me to tell? Oh, this is a really important one. This is pretty basic. Come on, what's with the critical stuff about your body? For heaven's sakes. You know, this business about, oh, I'm too fat, I'm too short, my arms aren't long enough, my fingers. I mean, for heaven's sakes, your body just wants you to love it and affirm it. My goodness gracious, people. Your body carries you around. It digests your food. This is it. This is who you are. So stop with the critical stuff and think about some more ways to affirm your body. Thank your body. Wow, feet, thank you very much. Man, you walked a long walk. How about a foot rub, foot? Let's help you out here. Seriously, this was a big one when I met with the body team. They were very upset about this critical thing about the body. One of the things our bodies crave also is touch. You know, there's been a lot of, for those of you who like research proof of things, there's been a lot of studies of the importance of touch. And that's why dogs and animals who go to senior centers and people who don't have touch in their lives can touch animals, or just when we hold hands here at the end of our congregation, or hugs. Hugs are free. Now, not everybody is a hugger, so it's always nice to ask permission, but hugs are free, and hugs are a way for one body tells another body, you know, you're doing good. I'm glad to see you. Thanks. So love your body. Don't focus on the negative. Focus on all the good things your body does for you every day. Okay, so now we're down to the last one here that your body wants me to tell you about. Okay, this is going to be really hard, but I have lots of examples so I can help you with this one. Because you may struggle and not agree with me. Your body really, 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 really wants to move. Really wants to move. It doesn't like just sitting there all day. It doesn't like doing the same thing over and over again. It wants to move. It wants to move freely. It wants to move about in space. That's what your body really wants. And if you're not giving your body enough of that, you need to think about ways to incorporate more movement in your life. Now, let me tell you a couple of ways that why the body really, really wants to move. First of all, there's such a thing as kinesthetic imagination. Your body wants to move so badly that it can actually get some physical reaction to you imagining movement. Imagining the movement has neurological and muscular reactions in your body. You don't even have to do the movement. You just imagine it. So this was a big relief to me, something I figured out, because I have always wanted to do a cartwheel. Always wanted to do a cartwheel. Man, I was a pudgy kid. No cartwheel's going to happen there, let me tell you. The couple of attempts were quite sad. But I should give my body credit for trying. But you know, I can do amazing cartwheels in my imagination. And it lifts my spirit. The picture on the cover of the Order of Service today, imagine doing that. Doesn't that just make you feel better, just imagining leaping up into the air? Just imagine it. Hold that in your head. So you don't have to be physically able to have the benefits of that. Another way your body is programmed to appreciate movement is mirror neurons that we have. And that means if I watch somebody else do a movement, I get a physical response to it. Even if your body's not moving, there's things going on in your nervous system and in your muscular system that reacts. This may explain to you why you're so exhausted after watching an evening of Olympics. You've essentially swam 1,500 meters, you probably did the balance beam, because you're watching it. What happens? You're watching the balance beam in the Olympics, and the person's going like this, right? And you're like, you may not be, but physically inside of yourself, that's what you're doing. So those mirror neurons are telling you the body wants to move so badly that just watching someone else move can influence us. But the body wants its own movement too. It doesn't just want to have to imagine it. It doesn't just want to have to watch other people do it. The body wants its own movement too. And it wants a movement that's free and yours, about you. So kinesthesiologists have discovered that there's four basic movement patterns that our bodies relate to. And each person has a dominant movement pattern. And I can also appreciate a secondary one. It's sort of like a Myers-Briggs for your body. You know, you've probably done some of those personality tests. This is sort of a, how does my body like to move? So there's four ways that the standard kinesthetic ways that bodies like to move. Swing, hang, thrust, and shape. So they're pretty self-explanatory. Swing, you know, if your body likes to swing, like this movement. And you'll find out what your body likes by just letting yourself move around and see what happens. So swing. Swing, generally, people like flexibility, they like freedom, they like openness. I'll make a confession, I happen to be a swinger. So what did I say the other one was? Thrust. So thrust is this. You've known people like that, right? You call them in your face, right? People that have a thrusting kind of energy. They're always charging on ahead. In the classes that I do around movement, we do fake karate. It's really fun because you don't have to know what you're doing. You just go, yah, yah, yah. Really fun. So if you like that, maybe thrust is your dominant way. Hang. Hang is just, it's just the people, you know, surfer dudes, right? Just hang. Oh, hang's great. I think I'm a secondary hang. Just love hang. Imagine yourself being attached to a kite that's floating around and the kite's just drifting you around. In our religious services committee, we talked about these ways of moving and how they relate to the actual worship service. So the hangers really like the silent time. They like the quiet time where they don't have to do anything, that it just hang. So we've actually increased that time a little bit out of respect for the people that really like to hang. And then shape. Shapers are your kind of organized, structured people. And so they like things to fit together and make sense. They like to see how the pieces happen. They like shape. So yoga is an excellent form of practice for people who like shape, because it's all about putting your body into various shapes and holding it. So shape is an swing, hang, thrust, and shape. So I encourage you to play around and see if any of those work for you. Okay, so now I want to talk just to your bodies, okay? So can you turn off your rational minds for a second? So I want you to know that I heard you. I got the message. I hope I'm doing okay here communicating your needs. I hope you're feeling like I'm representing you well. So doing my best up here. But the other thing that I've done, for all you bodies out there, I want you to hear this, especially those of you who are part of a system where the rational mind doesn't think that play is okay, all right? Try to coordinate with the brain to shut off the rational mind for a moment, okay? I've planned an afternoon of fun. It's May 20th, and we're going to play. Are you hearing me out there, all you bodies out there? We're going to play. We're going to play with those shapes that I just told you about. We're going to move. We're going to play. Now, if some of you are freaking out, You can just, as we learn, you get benefit out of watching. If there's something that happens that you don't like, you can totally just be present with all the people who are having fun and maybe have the experience of what it feels like to not have fun when other people are. But honor your body. Bring your body on May 20th. It's totally non-threatening. Completely non-threatening. Nobody is going to make you do anything that you don't want to do. But this is my response to this call that I've heard from your bodies. We're going to be in the welcome hall. There's going to be a potluck afterwards. So some of you, if you want to sit in the car till the potluck, whatever you need to do to make yourself happy, because it's not for everybody, but it's for every body. So I hope that you'll all join me and a crowd of fabulous fun players. 3:30 on May 20th. I've been advertising it all over the place because I'm hoping that many bodies show up to move around. Your final inspiration for today comes from a joke that your body wanted me to share with you. I'm a little embarrassed with this joke, but you know, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound, right? I'm going with what the body wants. So I want you to do something with me. It's not going to be hard. Not going to be hard at all. Okay, so here we go. I think I'm going to have to lean on the pulpit here. If you know this, join me. Put your right foot in, put your right foot out. Put your right foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all. Oh, you want more of it? Okay. You put your left foot in, you put your left foot out, you put your left foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.